And by the way, I just noticed for some reason or another the interfaces did not start recording the program at the beginning of the show. So if you're listening to the podcast, my sincere apologies because, we missed the first 50 minutes of the filibuster. I pushed the buttons. I know I pushed the buttons. But sometimes the buttons don't stay pushed. So I sincerely apologize. Checking back in with email real quick. Well, no, let's finish up the... The story about Guy Reffitt came out yesterday when the prosecution team filed a memo in the case. Reffitt's trial is scheduled for late February and will be the first insurrectionist to actually go to trial. And he's facing 5 federal charges. And has, of course, pleaded not guilty. And has been in the stir since. I'm sure the prosecutors would prefer if you would just enter a little plea to a misdemeanor and let them give him 3.5 hours. They tell the judge to give him 3.5 hours in jail and a $500 fine so they can just clear the case and get it off their docket. Lord. This guy was so bold and so homicidal that, among other things, like I noted earlier, he told his family that he would kill them if they turned him in. Now, on the other hand, his pettifogger said, well, you know, it's just talk. It's just talk. All that business is about removing Pelosi and McConnell. That's just talk. Last March, his daughter said that her daddy was just being a drama queen. On the other hand, both his son and his daughter testified against daddy, both in court and in front of the grand jury. And as if we needed any more of this sort of madness, enter Sylvester Stallone. Adrian! Yeah. He posted a photo of himself on social media wearing a hat bearing the letter, oh God, here we go, Q. While aboard an aircraft, and he said, heading into the storm. And the cue balls and the cucumbers immediately latched onto it and began hopping up and down and barking and and hooting and grunting. Check out that hat and that caption. Stallone knows. That was on a Telegram account that has 44,000 followers. 44,000. Stallone knows. And of course, the storm, in case you haven't kept up. It's hard to keep up with the stupid. The storm is what's going to happen when Donald Trump becomes president again and starts arresting all the Hollywood elites and the Democratic the Democratic pedophiles, not the Republican pedophiles, which actually exist, but the imaginary Democratic pedophiles. Gee, thanks, Sly. Thanks for freaking nothing. As to the crumblies on the lamb, and frankly, crumblies on the lamb sounds like a more polite way of saying dingleberries. I predict, Billable Rich says, that the crumblies will be found somewhere in Florida, the last chance state. Given the penchant of Governor Ron's death sentence to Clantis for Second Amendment rights, one wonders whether the crumblies would even be extradited to Michigan to face justice there. No matter what happens in this modern Bundy and Claude saga, that's the way the cookie crumblies. Oh, God. P.S. This email was written without any help from Giraffrey or Giraffrey Jr. That's how the cookie crumblies. Oh, Billable. Gnar. Gnar, gnar, gnar. It just hurts. Pole tosser. Stephen New York said, we're already firmly in the gutter just 35 minutes into Friday on the front porch. I know. But, you know, Finger Man wasn't helping anything. Kind of started in the gutter, if you want to get right down to it. Oh, and one last stupid thing. Because this is really monumentally stupid. Tracy alerted me to this story. And then I shared it with Annette. And I've kind of been walking around scratching my head over it all day long. It's nothing, nothing earth-shattering. But it is pretty amazingly stupid. It concerns a Delta flight from Syracuse, New York, to, being Delta, of course, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, you can travel with small pets as long as they're in a cage, properly ventilated, and they stay in the cage during the duration of the flight. That was apparently too much for one woman. And I have no doubt that there will be moments of, thoughts of extreme discomfort when we get to the details of this. I mean, this really is a swirly straw in the rock gut tequila kind of moment. Yeah. She got on the plane with her hairless cat, and that's not a euphemism for anything, before anybody says no. And somewhere along the way, in the air between Syracuse and Atlanta, Georgia, this woman removed her hairless cat from the cage, swaddled it up. This is, of course, the season when we talk about swaddling clothes. She swaddled her hair. Merca. Greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. She swaddled her hairless cat and put it to her breast, trying to masquerade the kitty cat, the hairless kitty cat, as a baby, and trying to force the hairless cat to latch on and nurse at her breast. Now, Delta has made abundantly clear, and this is not a Delta problem, that they are open and welcoming to breastfeeding mothers. It can be done with privacy and dignity, because it is a perfectly natural process. And Delta is like, you know, okay. This does not apply to hairless cats. And so when a flight attendant, just can you imagine? And you know, every time I see one of these and I share it with Annette, she's like, further proof of why I will never get on a goddamned airplane. She has not as yet been identified, but the write-up, she was caught breastfeeding her feline on the plane. A flight attendant told her repeatedly to stop and put her cat back in its cage, but the woman refused. So the flight attendant goes up and gets on the aircraft communications addressing and reporting system and lets Delta crew in Atlanta know that the passenger in seat 13A, quote, and this is a quote, I am not making this up, is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in its carrier when flight attendant requested. Ainsley Elizabeth was the flight attendant, or she was at least on board during the incident, and went on TikTok to explain in more detail what went down. This woman had one of those, like, hairless cats swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby. Her shirt was up, and she was trying to get the cat to latch. And she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier. And this is what makes it art. And the cat was screaming for its life. The fuck? Maybe she had mental health issues. But, I just read it, and you just read these things, and you go, huh. I mean, maybe this says more about us being done as a great country than any number of failed legislative proposals. And the cat was screaming for its life. Those little sharp cat teeth. I mean, I don't think she would have liked it if it had happened. Or maybe that's the problem. Too much. Way, way, way too much. Regarding the hairless cat lady, Brother Deacon Asa says, oh, what's your baby's name? Mittens! God! So that's the first hour of the program. And with a story like that, I'm inclined to just wonder what in the world we might be able to get into in the on the front porch, because, well, I feel like I need some brain bleach after that one. I really, really do. Let's check in. Hey, Sparky, what's happening? We'll get there in a minute.
All right, I got some setup now.
All better now?
Yeah, there's a delay in when you start trying to start the group up and everything.
Oh, I see.
And then everybody starts coming in, and I got to close down the Horn website so I don't hear you coming two ways.
Yeah, that can get confusing really quickly. Well, I'm getting parts of words.
Hang on, I handled it.
Yeah, any big doings?
Me?
Yeah, just hanging out at the ranch?
Yeah, just hanging out at the ranch, trying to get stuff done with the life insurance and my pension funds and stuff, and But I wanted to tell you about the Alexa that Steve gave me.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. You gotta have a smartphone to get it programmed. So I took Judy's phone. And I kept struggling with it, trying to get it unlocked. I'd get it unlocked, and I'd set it down for a minute, and the thing would lock up again. And it'd take 5 minutes to unlock again. I had to get the Alexa app, you know, to follow the app so it would connect and register my modem. I mean, my router. So everything would work. But I got it working.
How long did that take?
Oh, it took me about a half an hour, 45 minutes, I think. Because of the way that smartphone kept shutting down, locking up on me.
Any swearing involved?
Yes, there was a lot of swearing. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I was cussing up a storm. Stay turned on so I can do stuff on it, because that takes me a while to figure out what I'm doing on that thing.
Android or iPhone?
Android. Somebody said you could go in and adjust the settings so it'll stay on longer.
Yeah, you can. It's just a matter of finding the damn things.
So I've got another year on the contract for that phone.
So you've got it all programmed up, though?
Well, Mason, my minion, he was over a couple weeks ago, and he started making it my phone. And then got my Gmail account on it and everything. But he didn't mess with it too long. He's an iPhone expert. He's had one for about, oh, I'd say 8 or 9 years. He's 16 years old now.
So have you started experimenting with the wonderful world that is Alexa?
Oh, yeah. It took a while to train her how to fart, though.
Wait, how to what?
How to fart.
I had no idea.
She's in the other room, or I don't want her in here, because every time you kind of say something, it kind of lights up. And you wonder how they're spying on you.
Oh, sure.
Because somebody said it has to program itself to your voice, and then it'll start doing more shit.
Yeah, the more it hears you.
But I played a lot of songs and stuff on it. Nice. What I did is I took a add-on speaker system I had on one of the other TVs, because I've got three TVs in the house. So I took that speaker system and plugged it into Alexa. Makes it sound really good. In that big room in the living room, it reverberates and echoes it. Better for sound in there.
Oh, I hope you enjoy it.
Sure, I will. Steve's probably listening and chuckling. Because he knows I had a hell of a time with it.
Oh, yeah.
He's afraid to answer, though, I guess.
No, I'm here, man. I'm just listening, taking it all in. There's a learning curve. It took me at least a month to get comfortable with it. But now she can turn my lights on and off and change my TV channels. And got any song out there, she knows. So it's kind of a nifty thing to have. I like it.
How do you connect it to a TV?
Got to have a Fire Stick, which you can get cheap.
Oh.
Black Friday, they were practically giving them away for $20. And they're nice, man.
I got a Roku stick for the other TVs. The big TV's a Roku TV.
I don't know if you compare it. I'll Google and let you know.
It's not that big of a deal. I'll learn slowly.
Yeah. I thought you'd have fun with that. At least give you something to do.
Skeeb!
Blobbin, what's up, man?
I'm moving over to Cleopatra's Lounge on the barge here right now because the whole
moving and cruising, huh?
Yeah, the whole sitting thing's just a little bit. It becomes a bit of a painful challenge after a while.
I wonder, maybe you could get a flying gamma hooch or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Alexa can help with this.
No. And you just turned on everyone that's in earshot, too, that has one. She's lit up.
Oh, dear.
It's okay.
Better be careful about saying her name.
Nah, it's okay. South Park, they did this on purpose. Their last special, they had to turn it on people's cars and everything else, man. I finally had to put her on mute. Because those guys are ornery anyhow. They got a special out on Paramount called Post-COVID.
Oh, I saw an ad for that.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I don't want to spoil it, but it's hilarious.
Well, I don't do a lot of TV viewing tips, but I ran across one a couple of nights ago and started watching. Annette and I have been watching The Great on Hulu, which is just stunningly good TV. Brutal, bloody, wacky. If you can imagine a fictional historical drama about the court of Catherine the Great being wacky, well, this is it. But I forget what she was doing, and I don't watch it without her, and she doesn't watch it without me.
It's your all's thing, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, we just, you know. But the thing is, sorry about the scraping and noises and stuff, but so she was off doing something, and I didn't want to watch it without her. And so I went over to HBO Max, and upon the recommendation of a couple of members of the community, I checked out a documentary series over there and started watching the first couple of episodes. I don't know how many episodes there are. It's called The Way Down. Have you heard about it?
Mm-mm. It's on Hulu?
No, it's on HBO Max, The Way Down. And it's about this cult. It started out as this woman helping people lose weight with Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that with the blonde-headed woman with the weird hairdo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And
yeah, that is wild, isn't it?
Oh, it's a trip.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and you watch it and you're going, how? Who falls for this shit? But, you know, it's in the Deep South, so lots of people. That's the basic answer. Lots of people.
Tracy turned me on to a really neat show called Why Women Kill, made by the same guy, Mark Terry, I think his name, did Desperate Housewives. That's definitely worth a watch, and I'm surprised it hasn't won a whole ton of awards, man.
Good stuff.
Very good stuff. They do digital recolorization. The colors pop out. You know how Miss Maisel did that? Where the colors just come out and grab you, man. Well, they did the same thing with this. And highly recommended. Karen and I binge watched the whole thing in a couple of days. So that's their thing.
We're on season two now. What platform?
It's on Paramount.
Oh, okay. I think that's the one I don't have. I don't have that, and I don't have Peacock.
I had Peacock and dumped it. But
and since I've been in binge watching mode, I have never watched a single episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, did you give it a shot?
Yeah, I think I'm probably gonna. I need the giggle. You know, Danny DeVito. Come on, how can it not be good?
So, Steve, you liked Why Women Kill?
Loved it, Tracy. Oh, my gosh. Why didn't that win any awards?
I don't know, but isn't Lucy Liu...
My gosh. She just nailed that part, man. Nailed it.
She did. It's like, it is, you know, especially the whole 80s thing, and you know.
I was going to thank you for that recommendation, you know, because that was just.
Wow. Now the second season, I'm but
they don't do the time shifts. Is that what you're put out about? They stick it in the same time frame.
They stick it in the same time frame, and it just kind of gets it's a bit over the top. It's worth watching, but it's not as good as the first season.
You know who the heavyset guy is, don't you? If you ever seen Shaun of the Dead, that's him. He was
really?
Yeah, he was the guy's best friend, Shaun's best friend. His famous line was, "Oh God, he got an arm off." That's him. They must have put a fat suit on him or something. But yeah, I'm in season two as well. So I really appreciate you telling me about that.
Yeah, no. I really enjoyed it. I binged watched it too because by the time I watched it, it had already been on. So it had already, all the episodes had already aired.
Yeah,
but it was, so I didn't have to, you know, wait to watch it. But I'm a little bit peeved right now. I got a fucking parking ticket, dude. So I paid to park at school, right? And so I get in my car and I see a parking ticket. And you know why they gave me a parking ticket, y'all? Because I didn't put my license plate number in the when I got the permit. Now, there's nowhere on there on the thing that says I have to put my license plate. So, because I paid to park, but I didn't know my license plate, right? Who knows their license, their fucking license plate number? So I'm going to fight this shit because I paid to park. I had the, you know, the parking thing and everything. It was $6. You know how much the parking ticket is? $48. Motherfuckers. So now I gotta go find the parking.
That. You'll waste. Huh? Gotta fight that. You'll waste a shitload of time, but you gotta fight that.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Because I looked, I said, nowhere on there does it say that you have to put your license plate number on there. And I've been parking there all semester without putting my license plate number on it. It was like, because I park the car, then I go get the parking permit, and then I put the parking permit, you know, the parking thingy on there, the parking ticket or whatever. Punk asses, it's like, God, I need a hole in the head. Assholes. Oh, so I had yet another meeting with a school administrator today.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, because I haven't been on the call in a while. Long story short, I have a teacher that's an idiot. And I've been complaining about this teacher all semester because they haven't taught us anything in class. And my whole class is in an uproar. And I finally complained. I've been complaining and complaining. So on Monday, I had a meeting with the associate dean of the college. And now and basically what's happening is they're going to give us credit for the class. So we don't have to take it. At first they said they were going to give us an incomplete. I'm like, fuck that. Why should we get an incomplete when the teacher's not teaching us? And that means we got to do work that we don't know how to do. And now I just got off the phone after meeting with the chair of the department and she agrees. So now she's going to meet with the professor. And she's probably going to meet with come to one of our classes, come to class on Tuesday because next week is our last week of instruction before finals, and blah blah blah. So more than likely, we're going to get credit for the class and keep it moving. So we shall see.
Well, good on you.
Yeah,
and that the idea of that incomplete—that's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck that.
Incomplete is when the student doesn't do the work.
Right. That's yeah. Now, if I didn't do the work, that's different.
Yeah.
But no, it's like it's the teacher who didn't do what they were supposed to do. And wait, the chair was reading the syllabus, and I'm like, wait a minute. We didn't get that. First of all, we didn't have a syllabus until 3 weeks into the class, and now the syllabus isn't even on the on the on on the Canvas page. So whatever, when the chair, I said, we didn't have that on the syllabus. I'm like, oh no. I don't know where you got that from, but that's not what we have. Ooh. So yeah. Hey, Robert, did you ever get to see your friend today?
Yeah, I did. I did. I went down and took her some insomnia cookies and seemed to make her day. And, you know, I'd never met her before, but we spent about a half an hour talking, and it was just a lovely, lovely, lovely little moment, because nobody needs to be alone in a hospital room like that.
Mm-mm.
It'll make you just no good. So probably going to go back and see her again tomorrow.
Well, that got making fun of life. Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know. But I do need to send out thanks to Non-Billable Rick. Thank you, Non-Billable Rick. Non-Billable Rick responded to Ralph's challenge and then some. So we're down under $1,100 to get caught up with the end of November and be even with this here Friday. That's huge. And by the way, Tracy, I don't know if you heard, but I shared the cat story you shared with me, and I shared with Annette.
Oh.
Matt in San Francisco said, thanks, Robin. Now my nipples hurt. She was trying to get the cat to latch, and the cat was screaming for its life. That might have, you know, I think that might have been the giveaway that it wasn't a baby. Wow! Jesus, people.
That is just so sick.
I know. And Billable Rick said, on the other hand, is it still all about the cats? Of course it's still about the cats, all the time, 24/7. Did you know that Dr. Evil also had a hairless cat? That's the first thing I thought of, Mr. Bigglesworth. It's called a Rex cat, and is hypoallergenic for those with cat fur allergies. Well, but wait. No, because now we've got to go all the way back to those dim mists of Friday on the front porch, and I'm sure Steve in Georgia Stan remembers this very well. No, Billable, it's not about the cat. That was the whole thing. Do we have to go through this again?
God, wrong pussy.
I think you were there for that and said that very thing, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yes. And now we are within about, we're within striking distance of getting down in the $1,000 neighborhood. Thank you to Kevin in Massachusetts. Thank you, Kevin, so very, very much. I can't thank you enough. There needs to be a frenzy of bill paying here in the fairly near future, and y'all are helping out with that, and it takes a lot of pressure off of me. And so did moving over to the couch, but not in the same way.
Cleo.
Yes.
Really, you're fine.
Well, at least I'm not going to make an ass of myself.
Hey, Robin?
Yeah?
I'd like to offer a challenge.
Yes?
This is my really super, super duper fuck TTUN Go Hawkeyes $30 challenge.
Oh, we're in a bidding war now. Okay.
You know what? I used to think, you know, in the end, it's just a game. I get excited. And I've come to a conclusion. I really fucking hate that team up north. I fucking hate them. I don't know if I said this, but I fucking hate them, and I want them to lose.
I think this is becoming pathological.
What's it again?
I think this is becoming pathological.
You're goddamn right it is. Proudly. I hope someone breaks Harbaugh's leg.
That's a mean spirit there, Steve.
I don't give a flying fuck if it's a mean spirit. The way his aunt treated me when I was in high school, he deserves it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
His aunt was my art teacher.
Ooh, okay, it's personal then. I understand.
Yeah, it is personal. She made me sit by myself, like in a corner.
Hey, Steve, are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Never seen it. No desire.
Oh, okay. Well, you were talking about that team up north. It made me think of the Wildlings from Game of Thrones.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you're trying to substitute anything for that team up north?
It just made me think of the Wildlings.
You know what? Quit while you're ahead.
Oh, I'll be rooting for Ohio State. I hate Michigan, too. I'm a Notre Dame fan. Of course,
Wait a minute. The game is over.
For Ohio State, we won.
You mean Iowa? You mean
Sorry, Iowa. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Ohio State,
Yeah, we had to let TTUN win. I mean, it is twice in 20 years.
Let them. You're getting – you know what? I mean, Alabama fans are bad. I mean, Alabama fans are really – you know, we lost that game because of that one call of that referee, you know, 3 years ago. No, you're verging on that territory, Steve. It may be time for a fucking intervention.
I can vouch for that.
So I'm going to tell you something. I am proud. I am happy. If this is what addiction and obsession and obsessive compulsive is, if this is what it looks and feels like, I love it. I savor it. And I can't wait till Iowa beats the shit out of Jim Harbaugh and he has to go into a press conference and go, yeah, well, we beat Ohio State.
See, you seem to be so certain of that. I am not.
Oh, I'm not certain of it either, but I can't. I'm not certain of anything. But I want him to be humiliated because he's such an overrated turd.
But he's got a pretty decent record. It's just the Ohio State thing.
No, he doesn't have a decent record. He's 1-4 in bowl games. He's 1-7 against Ohio State. He's what, like 1-3 or 2-4 against Michigan State. He's 4-13, and I just remember.
Yeah, but look at his overall. Look at his overall. It ain't bad.
Yeah, big effing deal. He doesn't beat anybody. He's never beat anybody.
Oh, you have moved into Crimson Tide territory.
Robin, but his record.
Hold on, Christopher. I just got to throw one thing in your way. You know who the losingest bowl coach in college football history was at one point?
Earl Bruce?
Bryant.
Paul Bear Bryant.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. And it took Don Nealon of West Virginia to tie his bowl losing streak.
Oh, that's funny.
Harbaugh's just a disgusting person, too.
I just want to jump in and say, compare Harbaugh's record to Bo Schembechler. Schembechler, how do you pronounce
Schembechler.
Yeah. I mean, not even.
Yeah, but that's. That's really apples and oranges, though, because it's not fair, because those are coaches from a different era. That's, you know, that's the Bryant, Schembechler.
Woody Hayes, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Play option. Yeah.
Aaron Persegian, yeah.
No.
But I tell you what, the funniest story out of the last week, at least in terms of coaching, has to be Oklahoma. Because, you know, before the big Oklahoma State game, Lincoln Riley, head coach of Oklahoma, said, I am definitely not taking that LSU job because, you know, LSU fired Ed Orgeron and well, Lincoln Riley, and he comes in, I am definitely not taking that. Then Oklahoma loses to Oklahoma State, and the next morning he's like, I'm the fuck out of here. I'm taking the USC job. That's the job I'm taking.
You know what, Robin? I hate that, because that's like, what does that say to those kids?
I don't think it says anything to those kids. Those kids didn't know.
Coaching is
a money game.
I know. I just think he was a turd when he did that. And I love that LSU is going to be they're going to Mark Kelly or what is it Mark or Jim or John? He's going to inflict
some Irish name, right? Yeah.
No, but he's going to inflict 100 years of losing on them from his stain from Notre
Brian,
Dame.
Brian Kelly. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris.
You have deep hatred for the Irish too. I understand.
No, I don't.
No, that's me.
I have deep hatred for teams that haven't actually earned anything for 30 years, and the only reason they get in any playoff or bowl game, which they invariably get blown out in, is from their pedigree.
You get the big dollar, the mighty dollar.
I mean, Notre Dame, and Robin and I have talked. We've become fucking soulmates on college football, because I don't have anybody I can talk to about it, because this part of the country is not a college football part of the country, so I have to get my fix from Robin. Is basically,
well, I mean, if you live in New York, honest to God, it's actually kind of strange. You know, once upon a time, if you lived in New York City, you could take pride and say, you know, the Fordham Rams, but that was 75 years ago. If you're in the New York market, what do you got? You got Rutgers. You got Syracuse.
Okay, keep laughing, because I'm laughing too.
And no disrespect, but, you know, UConn football is not UConn basketball. I mean,
right?
I guess if you want to include the Philly market, there's always Temple.
Yeah, and that's like saying, well, there's always frozen pizza. That's like saying that.
Yeah.
But you've been like my dealer.
You used to eat all the time, Robin.
What's that, Christopher?
That gas station pizza you always used to eat.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's still there waiting for me when I get home.
Hey, Robin, I still have the thing you and I talked about offline to get to you. Will you still be at the address you gave me until you told me you'd be there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think like the 20th.
Okay. When I talk to Professor Paul, and
all of this is contingent on getting a good report on the 15th. That's my last exam and doctor's appointment. And please, sweet fake baby Jesus, wrapped up in your swaddling cat clothes in the manger, screaming for your life.
Amen.
Yeah, you please, no more catheters. Just please.
Mother Mary's nipples come to me, right?
Yes. Yeah, right, exactly.
Hey, by the way,
was screaming for its life. Did I hear John Bridevo?
I wouldn't listen to that guy.
I have to. Can I confess something
to myself?
Confess, Steve.
Hello,
it's good
Robin.
For the soul. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you is the more appropriate question.
I'm getting better.
Leave out the catheter shit, John.
Yeah, no. They did that to me in the doctor's office on Wednesday, John. Yeah. And
Robin, tubes. I just got a pain myself just now.
The very word. I mean, I made inarticulate, unhappy noises on that damn thing going in. However, trying to recover a little bit, when they took it out, I sang Sweet Mystery of Life, At Last I Found You.
Bless the
Lord. Hey, you know what?
Angels, thank goodness. Get that thing out of here.
You know, you and I have had this conversation about there are certain words that even if you don't know what they are,
they still hurt.
They just sound like, I don't know what that is, but that is it. I think catheter, there is, you know, the Yiddish word schmuck. There's a whole bunch of them. But catheter is one of those ones where you go, know what that is, but
I don't want to know. Yeah, I mean,
that's one of those
words where it's also often followed by nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
I know all about
just gonna
catheter.
Pray. Just kneel down. That's it. Just kneel down.
Hey, Bridevo, I got to ask you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time I hear your voice, I want to ask you how the situation is in the neighborhood, and if you're safe, and if you're
much improved.
Okay.
Much improved. We are safe right now. We're not having any problems with anybody. Of course, we've had a few more Let's Go Brandon signs put up and down the road.
Did anyone see the Midas Touch where they actually co-opted Brandon and they basically they went through the Brandon and all of the accomplishments of President Biden.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was pretty good. You would tell you what? We need to do that, Sparky. That was Sparky, right?
I seen one where I want to copy it, put a sign out my yard. Brandon took his job, took his house, took his Twitter account, and told him to shut up on live TV. That's what Brandon did.
Hey, and you know what Brandon did? Brandon got us vaccinated to whatever percent we is. Brandon got us a big job growth. Brandon got us lots of jobs. Brandon got the.
Let's go, Joe. Let's go, Joe.
Brandon got us COVID relief. Brandon's going to get us the Build Back Better. Not perfect, but better.
Brandon, let's hope if we can get Christian Sinema off her ass and make up her decision whether or not she wants to bless us with her vote.
And Joe.
I was wondering, fixing to say that.
We got problems. We got to fix them. That's all there is to it.
Well, Brandon got us the fuck out of Afghanistan, too.
Brandon got us the fuck out of Afghanistan. Amen to that, Chris.
Shut off my show, Robin. I did my Beer Bud Friday Live. Shut it off and trotted my ass right in here. So I'm so happy you did.
It's a doggone pleasurable. And I saw your video with Jenny there behind you the other day. I think it was from Wednesday, and I thought that was just charming as hell. 82.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few requests to do more of that, and I'm thinking, sure, like me for my ass.
Robin, do we have a cowbell anywhere?
I should get a cowbell. No, I've done that a few times. I do enjoy it myself. I don't want to run it into the ground. But she is a camera hog. I think she knows.
She's photogenic. She's got a pretty camera face.
Well, she just had her toenails done just the other day, so she had a nice pedicure.
Oh, she had a mani pedi?
Yep. I have this young lady that comes out, and bless her heart, she's just a tiny little thing. And the first time she ever showed up to do it, because I trim them. But, you know, when it gets down there to cutting that hoof out behind the hoof and everything.
No, GoPro. Call the guy.
Yeah, let's go pro.
Call the girl.
And she's just the tiniest thing. And the first time she showed up, and I said, really? You do horses? Oh, yes, sir. And she is a whiz. And now Jenny doesn't, you know, when she first started doing this, Jenny was skittish about her. But
Jenny sounds like she's like, oh, that's my stylist.
That's right. I'm here to get a pedicure.
She's a diva, right?
She is a diva.
Yes.
All my animals think they're it. And I got enough.
Billable Rick has his hand raised.
Hey, Rick. Hey, I see you, brother.
Go, man.
Hey, let me turn my camera off. There we go. I think it's off now. Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing fine. I am.
Go Hawkeyes!
She's got a camera shit going on. Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of that, Steve, what are you trying to do? Bankrupt me with all your Iowa challenges?
Well, I don't mean that. I'm not. That's not just to you. I want to make sure that you understand that we are united in our.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have the disgust that I do for that team up north, but...
No, I don't. I want for them, though, for sure.
I want you to beat them so bad. I want them to be embarrassed. I want them to go, God damn, I wish we hadn't beaten Ohio State, and we wouldn't have... And Iowa wouldn't have showed us how... Ugh.
Well, you know, they could surprise. I think they're... Are they like 10-point underdogs or something?
10.5. I just looked at the line.
10.5. Wow.
Now, I've realized something, though. Ohio State was a 7-point favorite. So
Indiana's going to cover the spread. And I hope the Hawks are going to win. Apparently, Kurt Warren was very emotional basically, at press, talking about his team and the game and so forth. So I'm wondering if he looking at this as like a last hurrah, if he should win, you know?
I wouldn't bet on any of these playoffs. I mean, Jesus, Alabama was Auburn was a 20-point dog last week.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I hope you're right, Robin. That'd be great.
Hey, Robin and Rick. It seems to me that there have been so many upsets this year that you can just throw the Vegas line out the door.
Right. I know. I wouldn't touch those lines with a 20-foot paddle lance.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, it's 4:00. Pacific time, 7:00 Eastern time.
It's 8:00.
See, I'm not sure. Is it ABC? 8:00.
I hope it's ABC. I hope it's not the douche nozzle Joe Klatt on Fox, who is dumber than my left testicle.
There you go. And there's actually a battle of unbeatens tonight in the Big Ten. Iowa travels to Purdue. They face the Purdue's number one in the country. I think Iowa has jumped up to maybe number nine.
Oh, in hoops, yeah.
In hoops, yeah.
Basketball, so starts at 4 o'clock. No, starts at 6 o'clock my time, so 9 Eastern. So kind of late for you guys, but yeah, we'll see what happens. So has Steve's challenge been met yet, Robin?
It has not, but I do need to thank Mark for jumping out there. We're down on the way to getting under $1,000, which is huge. Thank you, Mark. It has not been met yet.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I was able to figure out PayPal like yesterday. I told you I couldn't figure it out. I did. I'm going to match Steve's challenge, and I'm also going to make an entreaty, not a further challenge, but an entreaty for all Iowans who listen to the program to kick in some more money to kind of double, triple Steve's challenge, that kind of thing. I know Freight Train Frank listens to the program, and I know we got some other Iowans.
Yes.
Zed's out there. And
Carol Baker, she's from Iowa originally, isn't she?
She absolutely is.
I thought so, yeah, so. Anyway, I meet Steve's 30 and implore all other
Iowans. Well, let's be clear. You don't have to live in Ohio and physically be in Ohio to meet this challenge.
No, it's Iowa.
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 Iowa. Yeah, yeah, you don't have to
be there either.
No.
We get confused with Idaho as well.
Some bad news. It's on Fox.
Oh,
yeah. Oh no. Fox.
Hey, Robin, are you and I on the same page?
Oh, they were horrible. Those guys were horrible.
Oh.
Who's that?
I think Fowler and Herbstreet are so much better.
Well, I was going to say the best,
I like them.
The best team out there right now is the CBS duo that did the Iron Bowl last week. What's their name?
Yeah.
One guy's got a kind of a strange name, but they don't get in the way of the game. And
whatever happened, you know what? I long for the days of Keith Jackson.
It's war in the trenches. and Frank Broyles.
Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly! He's rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. And Frank Broyles, former Arkansas head coach, great man that he was, would respond, "Keith, these are some of the finest young men I've ever seen in my life."
he used to talk about Columbus, Ohio State, on the banks of the Scioto. If you've ever seen the Scioto River, it's little more than like a...
It's a ditch.
It's like a ditch.
On the muddy banks of the... On the muddy banks... Here on the muddy banks of the Sciatica.
Oh, jeez. give yourself a cowbell, a virtual one there, Robin.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I like that. The banks of the sciatica.
You must have that on your
mind. John could substitute a gong for you.
Hey.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Much appreciated.
Welcome to the Blue Dot Network.
Hey, John, I learned something from you just now.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that
Fritifo stood for nice ass in French.
That it does. It does indeed. Look it up in your Leviticus right there. It'll tell you
in
right
your
there.
In your Leviticus, you're absolutely right.
Your Leviticus.
Yeah, you're approaching Norm Crosby territory, and I know you remember Norm Crosby, John.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Look it up in your Leviticus.
Look it up in your Leviticus. That's right. It's in there. Everything else is, ain't it?
Pretty near.
Shit.
That's good.
Yeah, I keep ice on my Leviticus these days.
Oh, man. Okay.
I watch my sciatica.
Can we? I mean, we already went in the gutter at 35 minutes after. So, what was it? What was it? The pole?
Oh, the pole tosser.
Yeah, the pole tosser.
You did what? Whose grandma? What?
Yeah. Well, pole tosser just seemed natural for the flow of the program this evening, seeing how. And it's a real shame. I'm going to repeat myself right now because something happened to the recording early on. And I just want people to know that I've been waiting all day. I was waiting all day for the program to start because of the follow-up to, and people listening live are like, oh, she's going to do it again. I was just so damn proud of it. After we talked about hashtag Finger Man last night, John, this is John, this is the best story.
Finger man?
Hashtag finger man. This is one of the insurrectionist assholes. And he got busted. He got identified because, you know, he was part of the attack on constitutional governance on January the 6th. And they identified him by a tattoo on his finger. His left middle finger, you know, his bird flipping finger.
Yes.
He had tattooed the word fuck on.
Wow. Who would notice such a
Well, not just that, but Tom and Sonny San Rafael wrote in toward the end of the program last night and said, well, Robin, there's a reason he did that. It reminds him which finger to use.
Which one? Oh, yes, this one.
Which got me thinking after the program and wondering if he's got tattoos on other fingers. Like, does his right little finger have the word booger tattooed on it? Or nostril?
Or does other items on his body also have instructions printed on them?
I mean, maybe his right index finger says butthole?
I think so. Well, that is the right thumb. Butthole. Stick it up your ass. Literally. What are you going to do? Shit.
Man, that would be one hell of a tattoo, scrotum. That'd be a hell of a tattoo.
Yeah, if you could. I guess there's people that get into
it. Can't worry about that anymore, Christopher.
I'm not one of them. Get the hell away from there. What are you doing? Needles.
But I was proud of that, because and I just sat. I had happy hours last night just sitting there giggling at the thought of this insurrectionist maggot asshole having his fingers labeled for particular usages. You know, his left little finger, his left little finger's labeled, tattooed other nostril.
Other nostril. Lord have mercy. Yep.
And his ring finger, like when he got married, ring goes here.
No, that's just where he's got the little outline, you know, little circular outline.
I just imagine, like, in his house, he has something labeled light switch and refrigerator and, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be
the toilet. Well, just don't even think about what he's got sharpied on the toilet.
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, Lord,
you know,
have mercy.
Why am I hoping the man sits down for everything he does?
Oh, my Lanta, I just, these virgin ears
that piece of deep philosophy. All poop times are pee times, but not all pee times are poop times.
That's true. And you better pay attention to that, too. You find yourself in deep shit.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you brought us into the gutter. Don't be complaining now. You're the one that brought up the gutter.
Yeah, you did it. Yes.
Where do those people come from? That's what I want to know.
I know. Yeah. You feel like it feels like being part of an Attenborough documentary. Oh, let's knock on their door now. They have a maggot sign in the yard.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
These are the maggots in their natural habitat.
You press the doorbell and you hear woohoo, woohoo, woohoo.
You keep wondering to yourself at what point this Mark Meadows thing got me going. His book, now Mark Meadows is saying his own book is fake news or whatever. That's not really true. Really? Why'd you put it in your book for? Any depth, baby, any depth.
No, there's no bottom.
I mean, I suspect, let's say 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, sociologists will be studying this period of our time, of our history, and wondering, you know, how maggots
or
what motivated them, that kind of thing. It's going to be a maggot, maggotonomy or whatever you want to call
shit,
it.
You let them maggots get hold of the house again, and we're going to be drifting away, and there won't be no school teaching about this shit.
Which reminds me,
I want to go backwards for just a second, because I was talking about that one HBO Max documentary, The Way Down, and so this huge money suck cult church in Brentwood, Tennessee, the documentary focuses on. Well, that is Williamson County, Tennessee, mm-hmm. And I imagine a lot of people watching it didn't draw the same line I did, but it's all churchy. There's mega churches on every corner, and this particular cult church was just, oh, my God. But Williamson County, Tennessee, is the same county where Moms for Liberty, it's the same county where Moms for Liberty brought their, ginned up their petition to make the book, Ruby, is it Bridges or Brooks? I always forget. Goes to School, and a book about Dr. King for school kids, and the book about seahorse sex. They demanded that they be removed from the school curriculum because it makes little white children feel bad. Same county as this cult church. Any questions?
Not a bit.
Snowflake law. Yeah.
And it's no, you know, it's no spoiler because the documentary opens with this plane going down in Percy Priest Lake, and this maggoty cult leader was in a private plane headed for a maggot rally and right into the drink.
Well, you got to stop that seahorse knowledge, because in seahorses, the male carries the young and is the maternal object there. And by God, we can't teach that men can have a role in raising kids.
No, no, it's heretical, and God don't like that. And seahorses are full of demon spirits and whatnot. But that's exactly what got them all worked up. And it's the,
have you seen a seahorse's face? It looks just like the devil.
You better watch it, Robin. You're going to get Rick Wiles all spun up, because isn't there a seahorse Pokemon, like, little guy
that you could capture? Let me ask the expert over here. Hey, honey. Yes. Is there a seahorse Pokemon?
Yes.
Yes, there's a seahorse Pokemon. You're absolutely correct.
Rick Wiles, oh, man, he's going to be on that real quick.
Oh, my God. I wonder if his dogs are barking at the inflatable Christmas decorations about now. You know,
that would be Rick Wiles. Yeah,
Wiles. Yeah, yeah. I bet it is. What is it? What's his name? Scooter? Is that the dog's name, or what is it?
No, Booger. Was it Booger?
Booger. Come here, Booger.
No, I don't think so.
It's not the same one from Steve's favorite commercial, is it?
No, no. That's oh, dang it. What was that dog's name?
Brody?
Gordo. No. Gordo. It was Gordo.
Gordo.
Dog rubbed his ass all over the couch. To sell air freshener.
Hey, Steve.
To sell air freshener.
Hey, dog. So, anyway, everybody have a good weekend. I'm going to listen in until I have a consult in about 8 minutes, and I got to check out. So, you all have a good weekend. And
did you say consult or concert?
See you next week, man. I'll see you next Sunday, a week from Sunday.
That's right. That's right. We're going to watch the Bears and Packers. The Bears are probably going to get waxed, but we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to get destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you run off, Rick, I got a project for you. And I want you to figure out how to craft a law that could be passed in some state that forced gun owners to belong to a militia before they could get a gun or buy any ammunition, and get it to the Supreme Court, because it would undoubtedly go to the Supreme Court as an attack on the Second Amendment, and get the Supreme Court to interpret the Second Amendment and start incorporating the term militia, or they would deem the Second Amendment to be null and void, and kind of force their hand to live up to their conservative bullshit in forcing them to take on the Second Amendment and codifying it in the conservative thing, to where it's not just every Tom, Dick, and Harry can run out and get a gun without even any background checks, which is what the Republicans are trying to do now, and force the interpretation somehow to require membership in a militia before ownership of firearms. Well, but you have to draft the bill.
That's never going to – that law is going to get struck down at the district court level, Roger. That's how you're going to make it up to the Supremes. And then it would get to the circuit level.
There's always appeals and appeals and appeals and shift it up the line.
Yeah, I mean, I like your sentiment, but the Supreme Court has no integrity, let's say. They're full of intellectual dishonesty, and you know, basically the ends justify the means. Bush versus Gore, this is just a one-time thing. You know, just
I totally understand that, Rick. But what I'm getting at here is the arguments that they came up with regarding the Roe v. Wade and all the rest of that stuff, mm-hmm. and how it's constitutional this, constitutional that. Yeah. But it just seems to me that they should somehow be forced to deal with the militia clause of the Second Amendment.
Yeah,
and obviously you couldn't create a law with vigilantes because if you're enforcing a law by vigilantes, it can't go to the Supreme Court.
The problem, Roger, is that they already have dealt with the militia language in Heller. And what fat, dead Tony Scalia said was all that militia language is just window dressing. It's surplusage. It doesn't really... It's not really the important part of the... It doesn't have any real meaning. And darn it, I had George on the stress line, and I just lost him, so maybe George will buzz back in. But,
hey, Robin, isn't that what Dead Fat Tony said about the preamble, too?
Yeah.
Just window dressing?
Yeah, whenever they run across something that's inconvenient for them, it turns out that the framers didn't put it there with any original intent whatsoever.
I mean, that's enough to be like not get any to not pass the bar right there. Just saying something's as asinine as that.
Yeah. I mean, I think a better ploy would be to have some kind of a law passed in a state that will pass it and the governor will sign it, which, let's say, requires all men over the age of 18 to submit to, let's say, fertility tests. And I guess the state interest would be to make sure that they can, get women pregnant, because women can no longer have abortions now, something like that.
In all seriousness, what these Supreme Court shenanigans with regard to Roe and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, where they're all heading, and I've been saying this for years, is the crosshairs are on Griswold.
Right, it is. Yeah, exactly.
And what people need to understand is that when Republicans say there is no right to privacy in the Constitution, they're not just talking about women's reproductive organs, as if just women's reproductive organs was some sort of de minimis standard. It is not. It's life and death. But if you wipe out the constitutional right to privacy that was first enunciated in Griswold, then you're back in Bowers versus Hardwick territory.
You are, yeah.
Where the government can go window peeping to see if anybody's out there having the gay sex.
Right.
Or if, in fact, married heterosexual couples are engaging in sex acts not approved by the state of Texas or Georgia or where the fuck ever.
There you go. Right. Yep. Exactly.
And then there goes a whole bunch of good, decent, stable marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Because Obergefell goes by the wayside.
Yep. It's truly a slippery slope, and it is a real slippery slope. It's not just, imagine. This is real stuff.
And the only thing it won't touch is religion and guns. Because you have a right to privacy for those.
Right.
Robin, I was going to ask a question since we have Rick on the phone too, though.
I got about a minute. I'll check out. So be quick.
We have the Cheeto in ordinary thinking he's still chief. But he's using the... presidential seal. Now, if these laws are so antiquated, why do we have them? And the other thing is, if they're so antiquated, why don't we then enforce them?
Not quite. Can you elaborate on that? What are we enforcing? The laws? You mean the laws about the presidential seal? The
presidential seal is not supposed to be used after a president has left the office.
Mm-hmm. He's using it on all his communications, right?
I don't have He's using it on everything that he can use it on. Now, why can't he be?
Y-A-R. It's okay if you're Republican. That's the answer.
See, that's shit.
A Democratic president, a former president, could never do that. Not that they would do it anyway, but they would be banned. They would be barred. They would be
That's they are. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You know,
Well, all kidding aside, Rick, and I know you got to go, but
they want this law, you know, for the abortion law. Oh, yeah, we need this to go through. But then they're being hypocrites because they bitch and complain just as much as they do at the Hatch Act, the Logan Act, things like that. But then they never do anything.
But Bill, I do have a question on the way out the door for you. Does the United States have a property right interest in things like the Great Seal or the Seal of the Presidency?
I think so. Sure.
So is Nitwit Nero not is he not
trademark
infringement or
yeah? I mean, he's using it to promote his golf clubs.
Rick's got to go.
Yeah, later, Rick.
He left.
Take it easy, Rick.
He's using it to promote his golf clubs, which is illegal.
Name me something he's done that ain't illegal.
That's what I'm saying.
Like he could give a shit what's illegal.
Why can't the FBI walk up to him, put the cuffs on him, and take him to jail? No ifs, no ands, or buts. We don't have to hear from him, blah, 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 until all these trials start hitting the floor. Because it's ridiculous.
Because the basic answer to that is because we're a nation of laws. And there are people that are highly at utilizing those laws to delay shit.
They're not using. You have the Logan Act. You have the Hatch Act. You have all these acts that they could be using, and they're still not doing it.
He should have been in jail. He and his daddy should have been in jail in the 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, come on. This sucks.
Every day I'm pissed off just good enough because I've been dealing with doctors and everything today. So I'm at a point where I want to explode.
I think you feel like most
of us. I'm right there with you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of fed up with this bullshit. Yeah, I'm just talking about the Second Amendment a minute ago. My whole rant today was on that bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
gun responsibility, you know, every gun owner out there knows somebody else who owns a gun who shouldn't fucking own a gun. And we know who they are. We see them all the time. But when you have a story emulating that a father goes out and buys his 15-year-old son a 9mm, are you shitting me?
I know they're dealing with the same thing here in Colorado.
I think charging the parents the right thing to do. I hope they nail them to the wall. This shit's got to stop somewhere.
You got to find them first.
You know, Rittenhouse, everybody knew he had the AR-15. He wasn't old enough to use it. Nobody gave a shit. Same way with this kid. Oh, he's 15, but hey, he's got a Glock or whatever the fuck it was. You know, it's not a big deal. Because we don't do shit about guns. I live in Texas,
anybody
baby.
Else catch-
it's not your right to own a gun. It's your damn responsibility down here. You got to get one. Everybody
anybody
here.
Else catch... Did anybody else catch Randy Rhodes about the teacher who took a photograph of a doodling he was doing and about the parents being called in and not doing a goddamn thing about it?
Oh, it's not just the parents that are you know, the school itself did not inform the school, the sheriff guy at the school, the security officer, did not even inform them of this guy, and he's over there doodling guns and killing people. Yeah, well, there's a failure there too.
It's covering your butt.
That's like our, you know, I was talking about this last night when we were just in my room. I was like, doesn't make sense because we got three kids here right now. Everybody was having lunch in the parking lot. These three kids got out of the car and started shooting. They caught two of the kids. One kid they caught the next morning when they invaded his house and put him in cuffs. But they're going to be charged for murder because they shot three kids.
Well, hell, look at the case down in Georgia. where a 13-year-old shot his 14-year-old sister with a gun that he printed out at home with a 3D printer. And the reason he shot her was by accident, actually, because he was selling those ghost guns. And two guys had come by to get one and decided, hey, this is just a 13-year-old guy. We'll kick his ass and take his gun. They did. The 13-year-old went and got another ghost gun because, of course, he does. He's printing them out.
He's printing them out.
And shoots at him and hits his sister in the head.
You would think that they would make that program illegal on a 3D printer.
Yeah, well, a 13-year-old in Georgia just got hold of it, and he's just printing them out left and right. We got some serious freaking problems in this country.
Some problems. There is.
And yet, what schools get the gun, the metal detectors at their schools? The black schools. Schools in the quote-unquote the black neighborhoods, where the likelihood that there's going to be a school shooting is negligible. But the schools in the white neighborhoods where all these school shootings are, there's no metal detectors.
Well, actually, in here in my state, they actually are putting them in all of the schools.
Good.
But the only reason
that's what it's going to take
is because of that, you know, these kids are. That's the thing. When you have something, okay, think about it. You print money, right? You can't print money on a printer. So they've made printers. So if you put some on there, basically voids it out or does this or does that. You have a 3D printer. It should be the same thing. Shouldn't be able to make certain things on that 3D printer.
But aren't the 3D printers, isn't it plastic? It's not metal, yeah?
It's plastic, but remember, somebody probably got it in their head looking at a Clint Eastwood movie in the line of fire.
It's in the material they print with.
Yep.
Well, but you can print with
a lot of different media.
You can print with meat.
Yeah, but hold on.
Yeah, you can print with meat, so.
Isn't this all, I mean, whether it's three, and I'm not discounting the issues, but whether it's 3D printed guns or metal detectors at school, these are symptoms. The problem is the failure in the home that results in kids thinking that guns are a solution to a problem, as opposed to the problem itself that they then create with the gun.
Thank you, Robin.
I mean,
that's what I ranted about today. The fact that when I always say that the reason we have cockroaches, and when I say cockroaches, I mean racist little assholes. The reason we have those is because some cockroach teaches his son the cockroach ways, and we end up with cockroaches.
Right.
The same way with guns, it falls to what you're teaching your kids, you know, and from the looks of things, you know, we failed a lot in that respect.
Yeah.
Because they do. They think the gun is the answer. It's quick. Yeah, it's easy.
The other night, John, they always say, oh, it's video games and this. It's not. No, it's these kids think, too, that video games. Now, granted, there are some violent video games out there. Yes. But these kids think, oh, well, it's not a big deal because I could go out and shoot somebody and they're not going to get hurt because it's like a video game. And that's wrong, too. But
it's like race car driving. You can do that on the video game, but you know, don't go out on the street.
But you're not going to go out on the street and do that. Yes.
Yeah,
no. That's what I'm saying. It's like, to me, it's like there are certain things that, like the 3D printer, there should be certain things like that you can and can't do on a 3D printer. It's not going to let you. It's not going to allow you. Because, I mean, like, that would be like us putting a $100 bill on a printing machine on a printer at our home and printing out a bunch of $100 bills.
Well, basically, if you have the right paper.
You scan a $100 bill, it comes out black. You will not show the bill.
It kills it. So that, I mean, they took that into consideration, so they need to start taking 3D printing into consideration and say, okay, there's some things that if you're caught with this program, you're going to be liable for
the technologies to start putting a curtail on gun violence is already out there. There's different technologies on the weapons themselves that they could implement.
They implement them tomorrow, but they don't.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. Two things, like Robin alluded to just a moment ago, that the Republicans are going to fight tooth and nail is abortion and guns, baby. I'll throw a third religion, which I mix in with the abortion issue. It's just a way for the religious right to try to force their religion on the masses.
To me, it's like, you know, they don't, they're not going to force. I mean, to me, it sounds like most just being not hypocritical or anything, but being spiteful. Well, you might as well eat a gun because then the baby will come out and it'll be loaded to roll. You know, it's like, it's like, it just makes no fucking sense.
It doesn't make any sense. That, you know,
one other thing that's sacrilege in America, taxing the rich. We can't do that. Are you shitting me? Heavens no.
Create the jobs.
Yeah, that's
the
bad.
The military is already playing with technology that can help this. They're using a technology right now to read your fingerprints. So you can sight your weapon in, set it in. When you pick it up, it knows who you are and goes back to those settings. And will not fire without your hands. But we won't use it as civilians.
No.
You know, I said today, Beto O'Rourke is running for governor down here in Texas. And I support the hell out of this guy. And they keep whacking him on the head because he made that statement. Yes, I want to take away your AR-15. Yes, I want to take away your AK-47. And he has not backed off of that. And I am freaking proud of him for saying it. Because somebody has to. Somebody has to have the courage to stand up and say enough is enough. Our lawmakers aren't.
Come on, we're
what
a country.
The hell?
Enough is enough.
We all thought after Sandy Hook, this is it. This is when it's going to change. It ain't going to change, baby. Because there's two things they're passionate about, God and guns, baby. God and guns.
As Robin,
taking either one.
Give Robin props, Nitwit Nero didn't do a damn thing about any of the times they had any kind of shooting.
No president has.
But at least Biden comes out and says, this is wrong, that is wrong, this needs to stop, you know, and I'm sorry, but.
Only happens every day.
Maybe I'm going off a little bit, but there's just too many fucking guns there, and enough is enough. We need to be society and be caring about one another instead of being this ant. Oh, I'm going to.
That's the way we want it. That's the way their religion preaches it. That's the way
people
we all desire
Europe,
it. But
people in Europe are petrified of this country. They do not want to come here. They would love to see the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, Mount Rushmore. But they're petrified of coming here.
Somebody's going to hold them up when they get there. That's the problem.
It just so happens that I ran across a poem the other day. So we can have a little poetry corner moment.
Okay.
A poem by the British poet Brian Bilston. England is a cup of tea. France, a wheel of ripened brie. Greece, a short, squat olive tree. America is a gun. Brazil is a... What the hell's going on back there?
Sorry. I was grabbing something.
Robin.
Brazil is a football on the sand. Argentina, Maradona's hand. Germany, an oompa band. America is a gun. Holland is a wooden shoe. Hungary, a goulash stew. Australia, a kangaroo. America is a gun. Japan is a thermal spring. Scotland is a highland fling. Oh, better to be anything than America as a gun. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's
it.
Who we are, Robin. It's who we are.
And
ask,
it's,
ask any of them.
Yeah, it's very easy to say. It's very easy to say there are too many guns in the United States. But how do you ameliorate that situation?
You know, my first thought whenever that question comes up is we're not doing anything, so let's do something.
Right.
In a gun buyback program, fuck it. If we're going to waste money on a lot of bullshit, let's start wasting money on buying guns back. Let's get as many of them off the freaking street and start the society moving in a direction to I don't know how we get there. If I did know, hell, some think tank would hire me in a second.
We need to take some They did it. They got it.
They sure as fuck did. They did. There's the playbook. Right there's the blueprint.
They're not built into their brain that it is. It's not the I preach this all the time when they say, "Well, it ain't the gun that kills people. It's the person behind the gun." Yeah, and we've built a nation that worships that gun. That's how come the AR-15, AK-47 are so popular. Because that's what they want. That's the weapon of choice, baby. I want to be that. I want to just be able to mow them all down. It's that culture that we have built over the years. And now it's coming back to bite us on the ass, and we can't do anything about it.
You only need one gun. You only need one.
One.
How many do you need? You need 100 of them in your flipping house? Oh, I got tons. What? Who cares?
You only need to load them all while they're stealing your shit? By the time you're done loading all your weapons, all your shit's gone, and
I get a kick out of it.
Just look at the statistics. If you have a gun in the house, chances are it's going to be used on somebody in your fucking family.
Yes, that's the statistics.
I get a kick out of, I think it was Family Guy when they were like, yeah, they said, they put it in there, well, the country needs to bear arms. And the guy goes, no, you've got that wrong. You can have bear arms, not... You don't need to bear arms. You don't need to have a rifle. You know, they were making a joke about it. Like, no, he can have two bear arms from a bear.
Arm bears or something?
Scalia came down and made it the individual.
I don't know how
it was an individual right. I just think that's bullshit. I know I'm a layman, but when it says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the freedom of the state, you're talking about what is now the National Guard. That is the militia. These, your right to own a weapon it starts with the well-regulated part. I wish I had.
And I think this probably obtains in Texas as much or more than it does in West Virginia. And most any other redneck rural state, Confederate state, whatever. But. There are people who actually keep arsenals of guns the way that some people purchase gold bullion.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because they are immediately liquidatable. Guns are liquid on the economy. You can sell one in a minute.
Whiskey. Don't forget whiskey. Some whiskey. Prices.
And so, people who have lots of guns will often do stupid things, like put a sign up that shows a smoking revolver that says, "This house protected by Smith and Wesson." Or they'll put up a sign that says, "We don't call 911. And you know what that sign means?
I'm looking to shoot my neighbor.
Not just that, John. It means there's a house full of guns here. Please break in when we're not home and steal all our goddamn guns.
There you go.
Yeah, great point.
I had a next door neighbor that had printed on the side of his house. It said, "If you're found here at night, you will be found here in the morning."
Yeah, and that means we got lots of guns. So,
are just itching to use them too.
Yeah.
I made it back not too long ago. I know somebody personally who is walking around with a gun on one sole purpose. He wants to fucking lure me in to shoot my ass. That's exactly what he wants to fucking do.
Yeah.
He has no other desire for carrying that weapon other than trying to piss John off enough to jump over that fence so he can be justified. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people like that. They want the opportunity. They're just looking for the justification. Rittenhouse went there with that AR-15 looking for it.
Exactly.
For it. And he found it. He found it and got away with it, baby, because he's protecting his life.
The funny thing about it is,
went out looking for it. You want an opportunity. I mean, what's the shit with the cop shooting the guy in the wheelchair that had a knife nine times in the fucking back? I have not checked into that story, but it's something I just heard. You see that, Robin?
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, I saw it when I was going on air, and it's like,
dude, are you shitting me?
Yeah, it's like,
he had
okay.
a knife. You couldn't back up. You couldn't step out of the fucking way.
Yeah, he's gonna hurt you. What? Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous what the Orioles came to.
Well, you keep and the guy's the power chair.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Go ahead.
So you keep forgetting a multi-speed power chair, so he's really dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, those guys in Georgia, if it weren't for the video being leaked, they would have definitely gotten away with that lynching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is 100%. I mean, they had. The they did. Yes, yeah. Yes.
They were already in the process of just letting it go right on by the door.
Uh-huh. And those prosecutors, or at least one of the prosecutors, are they going to get, I think they're fired.
Disbarred?
Yeah, I don't know what, yeah. They should be.
They should be.
And I would say.
And there's a list of them in that county.
Can the family file a civil suit against that prosecutor?
I would.
Well, I think the district attorney's already got her ass in a ringer. Man has been charged.
Good.
Oh, the one down in Brunswick.
For trying
Georgia?
To hide it.
Yeah, the one down in Brunswick. Yeah, she's facing a felony and a misdemeanor. Right.
Excellent.
Good. Totally separate topic, but you remember when the condo collapsed in Florida a few months back?
Yeah.
Well, here we are, Waukesha, Wisconsin. We're trying to avoid a Florida, Waukesha Police Lieutenant Kevin Rice said. A six-story condominium building in Waukesha has been evacuated in a Milwaukee suburb after engineers found the structure is at an imminent threat of collapse.
At least they found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 48-unit Horizon West condominium building in Waukesha was evacuated last night after an engineering report said its structural columns were compromised. This country.
At least they realized that, and they did something about it. Yeah, they didn't just let it.
Yeah, come. But the thing is, that's the one they found.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Could be more. That's true. Yes,
the whole
and during the reign of Scott Walker, Stan, how much regulation do you think there was on like building codes
well,
and what have you?
We can't have regulations; those kill jobs, right?
Oh, yeah. Just like his Foxconn scam. Green,
it's like, about up shit right now. Come on now. Lily Raines and she's bitching is because they're up her ass.
I don't think that scam had one fucking job.
If it had rental units, how long were they renting knowing it was deficient and falling apart?
This is pretty cool, looking backwards. Did y'all realize that yesterday was a palindrome?
Yes.
Palindrome? Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
12/02/2021.
The next one doesn't happen until March the 2nd, 2030, and it only occurs on the average of 12 times a century. So that's pretty cool, man. Yeah.
And
Roger
was
telling me it was the same upside down, too. I didn't realize.
Yeah, it was the same. It was the same forward and back and upside down.
Crazy.
Yeah, but upside down really only worked if you were using
an old digital calculator.
The really computerized numbers, the way the two is written and shit like that.
All right, I'm going to take some of that.
You had to use a special font.
I'm going to take some of that legalized organ psilocybin and put that to the test.
That was when you flipped
if it happens 12 times. Right. If it happens 12 times a century, it happens every 8 years.
Yeah. Well, the next one's, let's see, March the 2nd, 2030.
That's about right.
Yeah.
I just thought that was pretty cool. Throw it out there.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to bore everybody.
That was me. Thank you for that tidbit. That's cool.
So what happened? Earth shattering yesterday. Nothing.
Well, my candidates in McKinleyville got approved for a loan.
There you go.
Hey.
Good way to bookmark the day.
Congratulations, Roger. So, did everyone hear about DeSantis's vigilante force that he wants to put together?
Oh yeah, I saw that. A civilian paramilitary force,
please.
John,
get together a well-regulated militia. I mean, there you go. It's all we need, right? A counterattack.
And they will be subject only to his command.
Agent Fred, I'm joking.
So are they going to start shooting people with masks, wearing masks?
I don't know, man. People are going off the deep end. World. Right.
What could possibly go wrong?
DeSantis in charge of a fucking army. Yeah, no problem there. God.
And no mandate.
Well, expect a Florida militia. Expect that Florida militia to show up and storm the halls of Congress the next time they're counting electoral college votes.
Yep.
Yeah, that you reckon maybe that was on DeKlantis's mind.
All right, sounds like a good one to me.
How do we counter that?
Well, he's feeling presidential, you know.
Do you fight fire with fire? How do you counter it?
Monkey up's feeling presidential.
I don't know. I think we ought to kick it in the ass myself and start doing things that matter. Number one on the list, get rid of the fucking filibuster.
Yeah, then I know.
Can start getting voting some right, done.
But it all starts with the Voting Rights Acts. If those don't pass,
if we don't get that passed, then we're fucked.
I've been saying that for 6 months.
They only need
more,
five fucking seats. Five doesn't seats, matter. And they take control of the House. They take control of the House. Oh, baby!
But I'm but John, I'm trying to pitch the more positive vision.
We're all gonna die.
No, that's the, no. We're all gonna get shiny hinds.
That was the positive.
We're all getting shiny hinds. Good.
It'll be under the Christmas tree.
No, look, you know, you got a primary field in Pennsylvania that's made up of foot pads and patent medicine nostrum salesmen.
Yeah.
And you got a hell of a good candidate in the guy who will probably be the Democratic nominee. So, you know, you take Pennsylvania, you got clowns running in Ohio, and maybe somebody will wise up. I mean, they keep reelecting Sherrod Brown, so they can't be, you know. So that's two Senate seats maybe we could pick up.
Jim Ryan?
And then Florida.
11 Democratic congressmen retiring. Yeah. 11.
But I'm talking about the Senate. I'm talking about the Senate. You got
well in the Senate.
All we got to do is pick up three or four, and suddenly Joe Manchin's irrelevant, and you can get rid of the filibuster.
Yeah.
The
Work
House
for me, Robin.
Yeah, I mean the House is the problem that the House is, but you know it's every 2 years, whereas you know.
Every six.
The Senate, you're in there for 6 years. We hang on to Mark Kelly and Raphael Warnock, pick up Ohio, pick up Pennsylvania, maybe pick up North Carolina and Florida, and you've got an official Joe Biden big fucking deal. This is a big fucking deal.
I think it's more than
and if
more
we keep
than possible
the House,
to
of
do.
Course.
Because Liz Cheney came out the other day after committee, and she was talking about the first of the year, they're going to have multiple weeks of public testimony in January 6th committee, and it's going to be in vivid color. Let's go, baby.
John, there's this, too. If the Supreme Court decision comes down the way we fear it's all going to come down, that's going to happen in June. And that's going to cheese a lot.
Are you telling me
that
all women aren't
fire
Republicans?
Up the folks. Yeah.
It's going to fire up a lot. Hey, Republicans get abortions, too.
Yes, they
Dirty
do.
Dirty little secret, man. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Usually, you know, their mistress.
It may not go the way they hope it goes.
If we go about it.
Right. This could be the dog that caught the car scenario.
I hope you're right, Steve. I think it could be that way. And
signaling that they might toss this back to the states is more than reason enough to start kicking in the ass with going as far as changing the composition of the court. Go to 13.
50 years of precedence. And they're already alluding to the fact that precedents don't mean shit to these people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If they're going to do this.
Shit to us.
What the hell? Because they ain't shit changed from time Roe was gone through the Supreme Court to now. Nothing's changed except the composition of the court.
Fetal viability data sure hasn't.
No. No. And viability itself by the judge who wrote it was an arbitrary number anyway. Viability depends on the child and the mother.
There's never been a ruling like Citizens United as that was a ruling of judicial activism. That's what we need to, I mean, and all that shit. Go back to all the bad decisions.
And you're never going to get rid of it until we do something like that. Because
we simply just say there were acts of judicial activism that need to be repaired. That's it. That's simple.
I fully agree with that one. Citizens United has allowed so much dark money into our politics that it's like every other drug. It's addictive, baby. They're not going to turn. That's like asking Congress to take a pay cut. They ain't going to do it, baby. That's money.
So you know? Do you think? Okay, let's take this to its sort of logical end. The Congress passes and it gets signed into law. A statute that changes the membership of the court to 13 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
What odds do you give Joe Biden of filling all those seats?
You better fucking do it. God damn it.
Get after it, baby.
Well, He better do it.
Filibuster on Supreme Court nominees. Yeah. Just do that.
Hey, come on. We can do deal.
So, Robin, here's the question. Where's our group? Where's our federal society that makes the list? Who makes the list for Joe to choose from? We know who made Donnie's list, right? Yeah. Who the fuck is making Joe's list and holding his feet to the fire that these are who he's going to choose in order?
Well, to give a serious answer to that question, what you have is not so much a Federalist Society list as you've got a list of people who were acceptable in the Clinton and particularly the Obama eras. There is no Federalist Society for our side.
Let's go down that fucking road, right? Really?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, just to rehash the story a little bit, when Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court, he went to Orrin Hatch, who was then the senior senator from Utah. And he asked Republican Orrin Hatch, "Now, Orrin, give me a name of a judge that you think Republicans could support on the Supreme Court." And Orrin Hatch said, "Well, that would be Merrick Garland." And so you get Merrick Garland. But at the time the nomination was made, I remember discussing Merrick Garland's judicial philosophy, and it was nothing that anybody who was progressive could write home about.
I think that fruit is bearing now, Robin. Aren't we seeing that?
Yes,
aren't
we
seeing
are.
His true colors,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he is a member. Merrick Garland is a member of the Federalist Society.
Well, there you go. There you go. No wonder. No wonder we ain't seeing all the things that he should be doing getting done.
Right.
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
And, you know, the progressive side of things, is there an organization out there that has a list of potential judges? No.
Southern Poverty Law Center, maybe?
But who would listen to them? Precisely no one?
Nobody.
No one.
Not Joe. Not Joe.
So many problems, Robin.
I know. I know, John. I mean, it would be easy to get disheartened, and I'm trying really hard not to.
I am, too. You know, every day, you know, and I've characterized myself. I'm a cheerleader, baby. I come on every day, try to pump them pom-poms and encourage people to be involved in this democracy. If we're not involved, we're going to lose it.
I got to get on Beto's call list, and I got to start making phone calls.
Get on everybody's call list.
Well, after the holidays,
there's a train coming.
After the holidays, I got to get on his team in a Hardy and spend some time with Beto and his team.
My son and I are planning to take our camera down to the Nueces County Democratic headquarters down here. And we're gonna shoot. My son's real good at editing and all that kind of stuff. We're gonna shoot a promo or a public. I don't know what it's called. The importance and how easy it is, because you know we've had blue dots that we've encouraged. All you have to do is call your local Democratic headquarters. Believe me, one phone call will get you pulled into that. And if you don't have to knock on doors if you don't want to, there's a lot of things that have to be done behind the scenes that require volunteers. And yep. We have to get people involved, you know. So I'm going to do a little PSA or something, you know, about, you know, how to do that. What happens when you call? It's not like they're going to make you get out on the street and go confront your neighbor or some shit. There's a lot of things that we can do to be involved in our local politics. And isn't it true that all politics is local?
John, what I learned joining Fair Fight is that some people, all they need is a little tiny nudge. A nudge, tiny nudge. Well, do I really? It's fucking Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't really want to do the phone call thing. Month. Well, that's fine. You can make copies. You can stuff envelopes. There are myriad of things.
There's a million things to do. You can go out and help put up signs. Hey, I want to interrupt for just a second because George is calling from California, and he was on earlier, and then the call dropped, and he called back in. So, hey, George.
Hey, Robin. Really enjoying the conversation this afternoon.
Good.
You did talk about TV shows earlier, and I want to know if you've been watching Jeopardy at all with the trans woman champion.
I don't get. I'm not able to watch it, but I am following the story in print, and I think it's a beautiful story.
Amy something.
Pardon?
Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah, she's awesome, and she's representing, and she's being out there and being a positive role model for the community. And it turns out she's really good at it because she's racking up some victories. She's already the fifth all-time leading winner.
Good. Yeah, so I just wanted to end the week on a bright note.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned it because it is a bright spot.
Bye, y'all.
All right, see you, George. Bye. Yeah, that's an extremely uplifting story. Her name, I've got it here.
That's a community that needs a good positive voice out there.
Yeah, it does. And
you know what? To all you listeners out there, your voice can do the same thing.
Yeah.
On a smaller scale, maybe, but always, always, you know, remind yourself that, yes, if you're in an area and somebody says something, no, let's don't do that. These are our family.
Yeah, they are. And things like this are wildly inspiring because I don't know if you saw it, but there was a Dave Chappelle sighting. Yeah, that's
where was he?
That sleazy MF-er showed up at his alma mater high school, Duke Ellington High School in D.C., because they had told him they wanted to name a theater after him. And they forced the children in that high school, the students, to attend an assembly with him where he then berated them.
How nice.
When they, you know, and when a couple of trans kids, because they got trans kids at the Duke Ellington High School for the Performing Arts in D.C., no surprise. They showed up and tried to ask questions, and he just talked over them. And eventually he said to them, I'm so much better. Let me see if I can find the quote here. He's just disgusting. Two transgender people were in line, and one transgender person was trying to explain, and Dave Chappelle kept talking over him and blatantly disrespecting the fact that he was talking and trying to make a joke out of the situation. And then the second transgender person tried to explain to Dave Chappelle what misgendering was, and Dave Chappelle interrupted her and completely ignored that, and then moved on to the next person. And then at the end of the assembly, he looked at the audience of students and said, "I am better at what I do than all of you in this room combined." And one of the kids who was
nothing like a little side of arrogance.
Yeah, one of the kids who was there said it was the most narcissistic display I've seen.
He also came out not too long ago, might have been in the same show, and said it'd be safer as a black trans woman as a black man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Man, he's just ending his career. That's all he's doing.
And he's got some problems.
But for, you know, and so it's so important that, like, this Jeopardy story is out there pushing back against his hate. And I don't know if you saw this, but this was a little bit of good news north of the border. The Canadian Parliament unanimously voted to ban conversion therapy. That's huge.
Good. Oh, that is good. Huge.
That's Canadian conservatives and Canadian liberals all agreeing. And now it goes up to the Canadian Senate. And the only thing I'm wondering is, and it would actually be kind of fitting and proper if maybe some fucking TERFs would start barking and grunting about banning conversion therapy, because then we'd see them for who they really are.
And the sentences for those conversion therapy abuses should be on par with domestic abuse, in my opinion. It's just as bad and just as detrimental and
it is harmful. Child abuse.
Yeah, those sentences should be exactly the same as domestic abuse.
Yeah.
I've seen some posts from TERFs, and they can be brutal, like brutal for no reason, just other than being mean. It's horrible.
They're some of the hatefulest people in the world right now. And thank you, Jeremy, by the way, for jumping in. That was a big help. I do appreciate it.
Ready to go, Jeremy.
You know, we're working our way toward $1,000 to go to get, you know, stay even with this.
Are you telling me we're not going to have a miracle? Is there no miracle today?
I think we're a little ways away from a miracle, John.
There's nothing out of the reach of a miracle.
Well, that's why they're miracles.
That's what miracles are all about.
I got to mention something because you know what a hopeless little fangirl I am of Priest Trees.
Yes. As I am.
Well, Annette brought me the Priest Trees the other day, and she said, "Let's try this." And so I can't really put it, but I can use it in the area.
Right.
And son of a gun, it worked. It worked.
I'm telling you, I was talking to Bernadette just the other day, and I swear, you know, I say on my show all the time, I swear that woman's in her kitchen out there. She's got little bluebirds flying around her carrying ribbons and whistling songs and shit. I swear that stuff works just about everywhere I've put it. It has worked everywhere. How could it not? Think about it.
Because it's so difficult for me to get comfortable, I had a lot of neck spasms, and Annette put some of that on my neck and haven't had one.
There you go. I've been using a lot on my legs lately because I've been cramping like shit, and it does. I don't know if it's just, you know.
More water.
My legs are chilling is all I can say.
And you know, it's like the old saying about, you know, it's like hitting yourself on the foot with a sledgehammer. It feels so good when you stop.
Well, I'm glad that's the, I am. You know me, Robin, I'm a firm believer in that stuff. And so many people have gotten a whole lot of relief from using that. I'm just tickled to death.
It's absolutely magnificent. And I have and probably will continue to have significant discomfort for a while, if not outright pain. But it's manageable, and the addition of a little bit of Priest Trees, just, you know, kind of right below my belly button.
I can't wake it a day without putting it on my shoulder.
Things settle down dramatically. I have to use it every day.
You know, it like Bernadette says, if it hurts, put it on it. It's going to work. It does.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. Anytime I hear somebody talk about that, I'm just so, you know, I don't have anything to do with it, but I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her for what she is. And, you know, we've been following her grandson, Dominic, right? We had, as a matter of fact, we had a fundraiser because he got invited to a STEM school in Berkeley.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And that's the Blue Dot Family, awesome.
Yes, yeah. We came together and raised several thousand dollars to make sure that he was able to attend that event and that school. And so the Blue Dot Family is very vested in him. Well, we were on the air, I guess it was Thursday night, when his dad came home with his report card during the show. And he had all A pluses on everything except one thing. He only got an A in PE. But he got an A plus on everything else on his report card. So we are really watching
this. That gives you a clue that he's actually paying attention to the stuff that matters. Yes. You know, if he only got an A in PE.
Yes. We call him our littlest blue dot, and we are. We're vested in his future as a group, and it warms my heart.
I think that's lovely.
We think the world of Bernadette. She is a kind person who has a voice, baby.
Yes, she does.
And yes, I call her my Tracy. That's my Tracy. There you go. She is just, she's a powerful woman who has a powerful voice. And she don't cut nobody no slack either. She, you know.
And for anybody who wants to try it, if you haven't already, the email address is trees at asis.com. Did I get that right, John?
Speaking of voices, John.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, baby. So, like you said, we don't take, you know, no smack. I've been fighting and battling because I have a teacher who, you know, she's a sweet and wonderful woman, but she cannot teach. And I have been complaining about this teacher the whole semester. And finally, I had a meeting on Monday with the associate dean of the College of Behavioral and Social Sciences. And today I had a meeting with the chair of Africana Studies Department. So we've come to the conclusion that they're going to basically give us, because at first they were talking about making us all take incompletes. And I said, no, we're not taking incompletes. We did nothing wrong. We have not learned anything. So we are now, they've come to the conclusion that they're going to give us credit for the class. I said, why should we take do work that we haven't even learned how to do?
Right.
But it was just, I was speaking on behalf, they said, well, how did the other students feel? I said, they're pissed. Well, they're more scared than anything. Because see, this is the second time I've taken this class with this same teacher. And because the department chair was like, well, tell me about the class. I said, well, the first few weeks of the class, we've been reading out loud from the book. And she said, what do you mean reading out loud from the book? I said, like I said, reading out loud from the book and taking quizzes. And the look on her face was just like, wait, what? I said, yes. I said, the class is research methods. We have not learned how to research. We have not learned how to write a research paper.
And then improve their reading skills, huh?
Yeah. I said, this is a 300-level class. What the hell, man?
Sound like sixth grade.
Yeah, you sound like they're teaching the Evelyn Woodhead speech reading. That's the speech course. Department.
So, and then she read the syllabus. And I said, well, that's not the syllabus we have. And by the way, the first 3 weeks of class, we didn't have the syllabus. And if you go back onto this Canvas page, the syllabus is not there. We had the syllabus, and then we didn't have the syllabus. Every time we would get the syllabus, she would take the syllabus down and revise the syllabus. So whatever you're reading from, that's not the syllabus we have. I'm telling you.
But they listened, and you got the job done.
Good reason why I'm not seeking higher education at this point.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
I can only imagine.
Hey, Tracy, I wanted to get your take before the show ended. I wanted to get your take on Amy COVID Barrett's comments during closing arguments or on the abortion case. Did you happen to see them?
No, because no. What does
you
it
can't? Go ahead, my sister's in utter denial.
What did the handmaid say?
Yeah. My sister's in utter denial. She can't handle watching any of this stuff. She can't. She simply can't handle it.
What did she say? What was her?
I tried to talk to her about it yesterday. I said, did you hear about the oral arguments and stuff? And she's like, you know what? I can't. I can't even go there. It makes her blood boil so hot.
Well, there's a reason everybody's thinking the court's going to come back with a decision that's favorable to Mississippi. We all do. We all do, just by the questions that the court was asking. You know, should we even be involved in a social issue? This is not a social issue.
This is a constitutional.
This is a constitutional right to control your own body. This is not some social issue that we need to decide on. Oh, well, we can't touch it because, you know, we're going to let this each state. Fuck
you. The fetus. Is.
Well, it's right up there, that whole deal about states' rights. Because if it was state, if you know, that whole states' rights thing, because then if it was up to the states' rights, then I'd still be a slave. And I couldn't be with my
only in certain states, Tracy.
You know.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't be married to my wife if it was states' rights.
No. Wait, and believe me, that's gonna be the next thing on their list after this.
Oh yeah. I think birth control first. Well, it'll be interesting to see if they start attacking birth control first or Obergefell. It's a toss-up.
Well, see, and by what I mean by my married to my wife, I'm not even talking about same gender. I'm talking about race.
Oh yeah.
Yes. No. We won't have any of that either.
Yeah. Hey, what was
Robin? No. Let's back up on that one.
You know,
there's the court could not revisit. Yeah.
Because I'm talking about Loving versus the state of Virginia.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, let's
I'm not even talking Overfield. I'm talking about the. Let's just go back to being with my son's father. Okay, so how about that?
Motherfucker! I mean, this is just amazing.
Robin.
I'm shocked. All right,
Sparky, and speaking.
What's up, Sparky? Speaking.
Ben just did a $25 donation and he has his hand up.
Well, hey, thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Outstanding, brother. Every donation helps. Every donation. And there ain't no reason we couldn't hit a miracle in 9 more minutes. Are you shitting me? I've seen miracles happen.
Eight minutes.
8 minutes you have in there.
Yeah, I did.
John has a truck.
And I did a $25 donation to Mark Holland for Kansas, Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate on Act Blue.
Good for you, Ben.
Thank you to Benjamin. Benjamin jumped in, and it is much appreciated as we try to get down under the $1,000 mark to get us toward fully funded. But
let me give you a little backstory on Mark Holland. He's been the mayor of Kansas City, Kansas for 25 years, and he's now running for U.S. Senate. And they say he's got probably the strongest chance of winning in this state next year.
Well, let's hope so.
I hope it works out for him. He's been a good mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They said he's been a great mayor. Matter of fact, Mark Holland is the reason why they got Kansas Speedway.
Oh, wow.
You can lower your hand now, Ben.
Okay.
And I have some other, on a happy note, John Vidovo.
Yes.
Mama Tracy and the wifey poo, we're going to New Orleans.
Are you? I want to go.
Yes. Come on, baby.
Oh, I think we all do.
I could be a tourist guy. I could show
come
you.
Come on down. We're going to be.
I wish I could, darling. I hope you have a grand time.
We're going to be there on the 20th. We're going to be there from the 20th to the 25th of December. And then we're driving down to Biloxi from the 25th to the 28th.
Man. You're so in my neck of the woods there, baby.
Yeah. You're going to be eating, drinking, and gambling.
Oh, man. I can taste the gumbo already.
Yes.
My favorite.
I hope you have a wonderful time.
And the F word.
I cannot wait. So anybody that got suggestions, on where to go. We're renting a car, and I'm just
Koshan Butcher down
the
in the
standard for where you got to go if you're in New Orleans is always the evening either ends or starts at the Cafe Du Mont.
It starts and ends
at the Cafe Du Mont. You're gonna end up there one way or the other.
Oh, one way or another, that's for sure.
Okay. Only serve two things, coffee and pancakes.
And what's so funny is the people who stand in line and staring at the menu. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, don't look at the menu. You're going to get two things, coffee and beignets. That's it. Well, they serve hot chocolate, too, I think they serve chocolate.
It's not how
many
do you want?
Don't go in there and order no hamburger. Somebody's going to look at you strange.
How many do you want? Do you want one, two, three, four, five? Do you want coffee? Do you want milk? Whatever.
And darling, watch how you breathe when you go to bite that beignet.
Yes.
Not be breathing in.
Because you're going to have a snort full of powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar, yep. That powdery. Oh, darling, I wish I could go with you. I do. I love New Orleans. I grew up there as a kid, and I've always said it was a wonderful place for a young 13, 14-year-old teenager to walk down Bourbon Street on Mardi Gras Day. That is an eye-opening experience for a young man.
Well, I wouldn't do Mardi Gras at my age
you just don't have to do it in New Orleans. Mardi Gras is celebrated all over, and including in Biloxi.
The oldest Mardi Gras in North America is in Mobile.
In Mobile, Alabama, was the first one. Yeah, so it's celebrated all over the Gulf Coast. So you don't have to go down on Bourbon Street to feel that.
Yeah, no, I have no desire, but I'm really excited because I've been in New Orleans several times. So I'm really because we're staying at Harrah's Gulf Coast, so we'll be right on the water on the beach. In Biloxi, and I'm just because I'm tired, not tired, but tired. It's just been
A nice visit to the third coast will be good for you.
Yeah, I've never been really on the Gulf Coast. Other than New Orleans, but I've never actually been on the beach and all that. So I'm
Florida to down here in Texas and Louisiana, I've spent my life on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, so.
Mainly because I'm allergic to snow.
Yeah, my snow allergy is going to be kicking
stupid.
In real soon.
I think snow is stupid. I don't get it. I don't understand why people live there.
Send me a picture.
Snow. And I will send you a picture because it's just, I'm just looking forward to eating.
I'm more of a sand and sea kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm just looking forward to eating, drinking, and gambling. Gambling more so to drinking because I'm not a big drinker. I can drink.
If you're in New Orleans, you gotta have something. Yeah, have a
Sazerac
or something.
You know, but drinking is not the priority. It's gambling and eating. You know, poker and eating, those are my priorities.
Great music.
Sounds like great priorities to me.
Yes.
Especially that eating part. That's where I am. Yeah.
Some of the best great late night music you'll find in the country in New Orleans.
Yes. I'm just, there's just, you know, and sleeping in, and I'm just,
It's always better when you go somewhere where you don't live.
Yes.
Because all your shit.
Amen.
Because I'm a Diamond member, just so happens that I'm getting $100 travel credit. And what else am I getting? I'm also getting $300 free play and all that sort of stuff.
Well, listen, when you hit the big one and you got the gamblers walking around money, that's when you get all gussied up and go to Galatoire, or go to Antoine's.
Okay.
I guess Commander's Palace is a thing, yeah, but the old school classic are Galatoire and Antoine's.
Antoine's, I've been to Tipitino's.
Yeah, Tipitino's.
That's a good one.
You ever been to Giacomo?
No.
Oh my God, that's good.
That's the Court good. Of Two Sisters is dare I say, a little bit overrated, I think.
It's good and food. That's the trick is to good find food, to find the out of the way places that haven't been ruined by Food Network or Food TV indeed. Or any of that shit.
The best poor boys you're going to find in Louisiana are not going to be at some nice big fancy restaurant.
No, they are.
Look for you a gas station on the side of the road that says poor boys.
Yeah, you go down into the I was telling Tracy, you go down into the industrial area where the Vietnamese settled. And they took the idea of the po' boy, and they Vietnamized it. And so there are these things called banh mi po' boys.
Ooh.
Oh, Lord.
God, that's got to be killer.
Yeah, it's some kind of good. And there's a place down. If you go down Magazine and turn over toward the river, there's a place called Cochon Butcher.
Cochon.
And there's a restaurant, and then there's kind of a deli attached to it. And those people are doing just exquisite things, like, you know, pork belly sandwiches. Yes.
And you ain't even from New Orleans.
No, but I've spent my fair share of time there.
When we had our
Not Blue enough, Dot but,
get know. Together up in San Antonio, one of our Blue Dots from Pennsylvania, Mitch Goldstein, bragged that he knew where to get the best taco in San Antonio, and I'll be damned if that wasn't the best taco place I'd ever been to. Best taco I'd ever had, ever.
Yeah,
any is a puppy taco, man.
Hey, did she say puppy?
Not puppy. Come puppy. On.
Hand me that gray Labrador over there. Hand him up here on the side. We got
tacos, goddammit.
And the hairless cat was, she was trying to get the hairless cat to latch, and the cat was screaming for its life.
God, every time I think about that.
Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
When I sent Robin that story, and I said, okay, not to be saying, you know, generalizing and assuming that the woman was white because they said the unidentified woman. And that was a giveaway because had it not been a white woman, they would have said it was a black woman. So.
Well, I'm just glad that cat wasn't a Garfield cat because it'd be tough to be squeezing lasagna out of your nipples.
Oh, that's just gross. And on that, I suspect we shall end the program. Thanks a million to you, Christopher. And thanks to Mark and Mary. Thank you, Mary. Mary jumped in and took us down well below the $1,000 mark. So we have we've got a 3-digit deficit instead of a 4-digit deficit. And that is tremendous. Thank you so, so much. Because that means bill paying there can be some bill paying going on today and tomorrow. And take a little bit of stress off of things while we're maintaining two households. And now
do we have a miracle in the hour I was gone, folks?
No miracle.
No miracle.
Oh, okay.
But it was still respectable.
Hour, so continue, please.
Every day, every day here is a miracle. Keeping independent liberal progressive broadcasting on the air is no mean feat, especially when there's damn near two decades of it. And so, we had, we started out with a goal of 1,500 and we got down below 1,000. So that's pretty tremendous any way you slice it. That's a couple of bills.
Thank you to all who donated.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, everybody. Now, what's this? Lee in New York. Antoine's. And, yes, of course, reminding me of the great Warner Brothers. And that's the first place I ever heard of Antoine's was a Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny cartoon called French Rarebit. And, in fact, in 2017, Annette and I were there, and I actually did she videoed me doing the bit outside of Antoine's Yeah. You mean the Antoine's of New Orleans? I don't mean Antoine's of Flatbush. And then a lovely gentleman named Amore gave us the house tour. And we didn't eat, but he took us all the way through. And no, y'all come on in. You got to see this. And it was just a delightful experience. And then when I was there in 2018, I actually sat in my last night there. I sat down and I didn't do the coat and tie part. I just sat in the bar and ate. And oh my God, I think I ate the restaurant.
Tracy, you're going to have so much fun, baby.
But John, I don't know how you feel about this, but we have got to, and I don't know if it's even possible, but we have got to convince Tracy that oysters are actually food.
No, they're not. They're slimy snot.
Yeah, see, no.
Come on.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy, I say.
Yes.
Oh, baby, on the half shell and dressing. Are you kidding me? Fried oysters?
Oh, anyway, like the roasted stuffed oysters.
Anyway.
Yeah, roasted stuff.
Slimy snot.
No, roasted stuff. They're not even slimy or snotty when they're roasted. Now quit that.
I gave up my last night to the lovely star. We had our Christmas party, and one of the little things was oyster, and they had like little tiny like hors d'oeuvres, and one of them was an oyster. I gave her mine. I didn't want to try that.
Oh, oyster shooters.
I worked on an oyster boat for a while, and to me, just sitting there shucking them right out of the sea. Right out of the boat, a little Tabasco, I'm fine.
Yep.
Slimy snot. So we got oysters. So
but how can you say that if you have not eaten them?
Raisins, oysters.
Tracy, I'm going to pray for you, baby. Oysters. I'm going to pray for you. Don't worry.
Hey, John, just an addendum. You need the horseradish with the Tabasco.
I'm not much of a horseradish.
I'm spoiled because. There are some restaurants that serve, it's like a vinaigrette, but it's called a mignonette, M-I-G-N-O-N-E-T-T-E, and you can make it a million different ways, but classically, it's red wine vinegar, finely minced shallot, black pepper, and tarragon.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It is heavenly on a raw oyster, and it's, and I mean...
My God.
On the half shell, baby. That's the way
In fact, there's a chain, a little chain that runs along the Gulf Coast, and they're here in Birmingham called the Half Shell. And my first foray into driving was to go there and get lunch for Annette and me last Saturday. And I got a tray of 24 roasted oysters. They were stuffed. There was oysters Bienville, there was oysters Rockefeller, and oysters a couple of different other ways. And all the sliminess is gone because it'd been baked in the shell.
Yeah.
And, oh, heavenly days. So rich, so delicate, so exquisite. So nasty.
Robin, one of the best parties I ever threw.
I'm with Tracy.
One of the best parties I ever threw in Chicago was a Mardi Gras party where I ordered a fresh king cake from New Orleans and 200 pounds of oysters. That came that day, shipped that day. That was one of the best. Those things went in a few hours, a couple hours, gone. 200 pounds of oysters, like, gone.
I'd be the guy over there getting a big old rack of it to leave these alone. These are mine.
Yeah, there were people, like, huddled around it, like, and they were kind of, like, elbowing people out of the way, like, no, you're mine.
that was part of life growing up on the Gulf Coast. Oysters was just...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Thanksgiving dressing was oyster dressing.
It's a hillbilly tradition too, John Bredevo, because once upon a time, the only time it got cold enough in Appalachia to have oysters was around Christmas, and they would come packed in barrels in ice. And my mother's favorite thing, her dressing recipe was something that had been around for 150 years. And it was very simple and very poor folks. But once in a while, they would get oysters, and she would shuck a few and slurp a few. But she'd shuck some, and then she'd take, like, shears, kitchen scissors, and just chop those oysters up into that dressing. And it would make it so, so, so good. Because you got that bright brilliance of the sea. and the sweetness and the saltiness. You
know, before I started my show, which was before this show, my wife was out there in the kitchen cooking. I have not ate yet. That smell is wafting, and y'all are talking food.
Oh, mercy. I get it. Well, I've still got my dinner from Hattie B's Hot Chicken to get into as soon as the program's over. I love me some Nashville Hot Chicken.
There you go.
Randy Radar, Tracy, says to tell I should tell you to check your Facebook Messenger. So I don't know what that – but Tom and Sunny San Rafael has joined in on Tracy's oysterist jihad. Tom says, I'm with Tracy. Oysters are not food. So we're going
Tom,
to
I'm
going to
pray for you, Tom. I'm praying for you, Tom.
We're going to add oysterist to your raisinist. Oysterist. And grape supremacist.
Grape supremacist.
I should have a feeling coming over you, Tom, right now. It's
Tracy, the best thing in the world. Tracy, the best thing in the world. Oysters, dab of mayonnaise with some raisins on top.
God bless you for going there, Christopher. You saved me the trouble.
I can't say what I want to say because I still have people in the cab, but you can only imagine what I would say to you right now.
Hey, family show.
Yep, I understand.
It's not a family show.
Well, I love you all dearly, and this has been a lovely conversation. And granted, I had to retreat to the chaise longue on Cleopatra's barge going down the Nile, but I made it through 3 hours, and I'm proud of that. And you know what? I may run out and just get some oysters for Annette and me. I'm kidding.
John, give him a gong.
There you go. Wait. I got to pull it out of Donnie's ass, and there it is, baby.
Thank you very kindly, John.
And Donnie's ass over here.
And thanks for a great conversation this evening. I really appreciate it. It's this is the highlight of a lot of people's week, mine included.
You make it that way, Robin. You make it
well,
that way.
Well, y'all do. But I hope everything goes well down at the Britovo Ranch, and y'all have a peaceful weekend. And
Indeed.
Take a sugar cube or a carrot or whatever, an apple or whatever she likes out to Jenny for me, because that is one.
I will.
That is one wonderful, lovely little donkey.
She is my sweet little girl.
Yes, she
is.
She
really is.
Yeah, she likes your T-shirt.
Thank you for saying that.
Trying to eat your T-shirts.
But
the other night she was trying to eat your T-shirt. You were like, "What the hell?"
Always, she's not trying to eat the T-shirt. She's trying to nibble on my shoulder. Trying to pinch me. No, I'm not painting no pretty picture here. She's trying to say, look at me. The only reason she's getting the shirt is because I'm jerking my shoulder out of the way.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you to the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation, and thanks to the Blue Dot Crossovers. It's always lovely having y'all. And Monday will be here before we know it. Program note-wise, I don't think there's anything that will interfere with the program in terms of appointments or anything next week. The only thing that might interfere is, you know, my ability to get through 3 hours of a program. And I hope we're going to work on it, rest up over the weekend, and every day get a little stronger, every day get a little better, until I'll be back all the way. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Y'all are the reason that independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting like this has existed for almost two decades. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room, and thanks to Sparky and Steve in the Old Holler Tree, where we gather around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. By the way, my apologies. I don't know why the interface screwed up and stopped recording, but it did, so we missed the first 50 minutes of the program, and that's gone forever. But nonetheless, at least there's a podcast. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, this would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073. If you've asked them before and they haven't done it yet, check back with them and say, hey, happy holidays. Co-sponsor H.R. 2073. I already asked it once. You know, let's get this done. And after all, it does mean the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Do everything you have to do to stay to keep yourself safe. The Omicron news keeps getting weirder and weirder. What did I say? I think News Ninja Gene put it up. It's a cover of a Star Trek novel. It shows Kirk and McCoy on the front and said, Star Trek, holy shit, this is never going to end. I laughed. Thank you, Gene. Still laughing. But stay safe. Get your vaccine. Get your booster. I heard somebody on National Petroleum Radio today complaining that she couldn't get her booster in Washington, D.C. I'm like, well, just come on down to West Virginia, honey. We got lots of people who won't take the shot or the booster. We got plenty. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Take it with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance. And by all means, if you happen to run across somebody with booger tattooed on one finger, butt tattooed on another, and fuck on another, avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.